Today's show is brought to you by The Star City Murders, an amazing new film coming to video on demand, Apple TV, Amazon Prime Video, many other platforms on April 16th. That's right, The Star City Murders, produced and starring our very own Heath Sentazzo, a.k.a. Heath Solo. After three murders are committed in Star City, Detective Frank Brody and his team must stop a serial killer before he strikes again. However, the connection between the three victims could hit close to home. It's a race against time as Detective Brody has less than 48 hours before the suspect kills again. Starring our very own Heath Sentazzo, Michelle Lukes, Amy Mata, Jason Graham, and Tim Russ. Directed by Giles Andrews. Baby, this is it. We've been talking about it for years. It's the Star City Murders. So go over to Apple TV, iTunes, Amazon, look up Star City Murders, or just click the link in the show notes and pre-order it now. All right, everybody. Welcome back to Daily DVR. It's Tuesday. It's Axel and Andy. We're talking about a bunch of different TV shows. You can, of course, check us out at dvrpodcast.com. You can become a patron. And, you know, we are getting a lot. Patreon has this new thing where you can become a free patron. So head on over to patreon.com/DVR. Become a patron. And, I mean, I don't know. Thank you, patrons. I have to say, it's every time I go on to Patreon, I'm like, damn, these people actually took the time to want to listen to us and help us out and keep this thing going. And there's just so many people, and I really do appreciate all of them. And whether you're free or money, it's not about the money. It's just about kind of about that original community that we all started listening to Lost, baby. And that project is still going on, the Lost documentary. Hey, Andy, why don't you join the podcast? I'm just talking to myself, Axel. Already.
Yeah, how are you? Yeah, I'm actually tired of reading subtitles for a while, so it's going to be nice to talk on a podcast for a while.
Gosh, I know. There's a lot of subtitles going around on TV.
No, it's crazy.
It is crazy. It is. All right, buddy. Well, yeah, no, I'm just looking at the list right now. Sometimes during the beginning of the show, I like to look at the list of all. We have now 49 paid and free patrons, and that's pretty awesome. That's the most we've ever had.
That is awesome. Yeah, I didn't realize it was up that high already.
Yep, it's awesome.
Or lately. I haven't asked you in a while how that count was. I remember back when it was in the 20s for a long time. Yeah. That's nice.
Yep, it's great. It's great to see that. And I think I've been doing a pretty good job of putting everything up a day early. So all of the podcasts, as soon as we're done, I usually, because there's not much editing that goes into these podcasts, folks. You're listening to this is like the live radio. It's a conversation. Yep. You know, maybe we mute ourselves, or every once in a while I hit pause, but
it's pretty raw footage. When I listen back, I don't catch many edits. So,
well, why we're good. Yeah. It's we're good. We're having a convo, you know? So, yeah, I can't remember why I was talking about that, but I put it up a day early. So I put it up almost immediately on the Patreon, and then I usually wait a day or two. The recent podcast that we did on Three Body Problem came out on Friday on Patreon, and then it came out Monday morning, regular style. So I kind of wanted to give the patrons the weekend to digest that. That was a lot of fun, right, man?
That was a lot of fun. Yeah. Like a lot of good shows. That one, it's gotten me more excited after just after podcasting about it. And unfortunately, we're probably going to have to wait a couple years. Still no official renewal yet, but I think it's coming soon.
Yeah, I was listening to Bubba and Catfish, and Bubba was a little bit less convinced that it was getting a second season than I was on our pod, and that made me worry. So, Bubba, if you're listening, tell whoever you can watch the show.
The reason that gives me a good hope is I'm a nerd that pays attention to film marketing and just marketing in general. I've taken classes on it and all this kind of stuff. And they're still advertising this show. Netflix, 99.9% of the time, once they release it, they're done. You don't see ads for it at all anymore.
Great point.
They do ads for a couple weeks leading up. Three Body Problem still has tons of ads all over I've seen a couple watching basketball games this weekend. I saw some still on Facebook that where they're blasting ads everywhere. Yep. So I have faith that they're trying to make this show happen. So I've got a good feeling about it.
That's a great point. You know something else I noticed? When you go to Netflix, they changed the image, right? The poster, whatever you're going to call it.
Yep.
It to a picture of John Bradley with the mask on, with the VR helmet on. Mm-hmm. And there you have the Game of Thrones geek thing, and you have the VR thing. It looks like Ready Player One, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And Netflix, again, usually doesn't change that, I guess, key art. Yep. Once they put it on there, they keep that tile the same.
Yeah, the thumbnails.
Yep. Yeah, so you recognize and it. So
they also changed the intro to the show, the whole Netflix intro. When you like the da-dum, when you start the episode, it's totally new for this show. The only time I ever remember them doing that was maybe Stranger Things and I think one of the Flanagan shows.
Yeah.
So they don't do that often either. I mean, they definitely are giving it every chance to succeed. So hopefully people are still watching it.
That's a fun thing, Ando. It makes me think. So that started in film, right? And it like the what is it? The Paramount Mountain, yeah, like an Indiana Jones, right?
Yep.
And they copied that from an earlier films that had done that in like the 30s and the 40s and the 50s, right? Like,
yep. Then, it was a throwback to those films in the first place. Yep. So yeah.
Then HBO started doing that. Like they would like I think it might have been Westworld where like started like flickering when it does the ta-da, yep, like the HBO yep thing.
Yep.
And then Netflix. I find that interesting. Like,
yeah, messing with the studio titles there.
Yeah.
There's been a few other instances too. Like Alien 3 does a version of it. That's the ultra dark David Fincher Alien. And at the very beginning, you hear the da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And at the very end, it doesn't change the visual, but instead of the last chord, like when you're ready to hear Star Wars or something, it just turns to this awful, just screeching chord at the end of the 20th Century Fox fanfare. That's one of the first times I remember noticing it too. It's like, oh, and it just puts you in a bad mood, and which is perfect for that movie because that whole movie is a bad mood. So there's other little random times where it happens too.
Charles some of the Marvel Dutton's films gonna yell at you well for the next 2.5 hours.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
What The Matrix did it too. That's a famous one. I mm-hmm like this. I wonder if there's probably a podcast out there that only talks about the history of
opening titles. Yeah. Of
opening titles being messed with, like,
you're probably
integrated
right
into it. But that's not what we're here to talk about today, though we are going to talk about that. But there's a lot of TV. You figure we do a little catch up here, kind of throw some shows out, maybe not go super in depth into any of them, but just kind of talk a little bit about them, what we think. We also have a list of upcoming shows from our friend Mike over at One Mike that he posted that then I reposted, shows that are coming up. So, let's talk a little bit about some, what's the first show on your mind, Ando, that you wanted to talk about that you've been watching or wanted to watch or whatever?
The first show that I want to bring up is one that I finished, and I finished it, I finished it the weekend it came out, which for me, Netflix is, I usually wait till everybody, like with Netflix stuff, since it's all on at once, I'm like, well, I'll wait till what people say. And this is a show that came out, I think, 3 or 4 weeks ago, maybe, The Gentlemen, which it wasn't something I was looking forward to at all. I was doing, for my normal life, I have to do a lot of paperwork and work at the computer. So a lot of times and it's stuff I don't have to concentrate 100%. So I'll put a show on in the background. I'm like, oh, this looks like a fun show I can just kind of put on in the background and kind of half pay attention to. And by halfway through the first episode, I stopped doing my paperwork and watched all 8 episodes within like the first day and a half, 2 days. I was shocked. I loved this show. It's Guy Ritchie, The Gentleman. I never watched the movie it was based on, but I think it's so much damn fun. It's a throwback to not Colin Farrell, to Guy Ritchie's older films. It reminds me a lot more of Snatch and Lock, Stock than anything he's done in a long, long time. So have you watched any of The Gentleman? You obviously have watched some of it. How far are you into it?
So the wife and I watched the first 2 episodes. I was very pleasantly surprised. Theo James, off of his starring role, and I guess a role that kind of gave him a little bit of a resurgence. What was that Mike White show called again? That he
was on? And you know, that's what I was going to mention. I love Theo James in this, and between that and Aubrey Plaza, who I also love, I'm going to have to go back and watch season two of White Lotus, which I did not like season one. So I'm like, I'm not going to even watch this season two.
Now I have to. You didn't watch season two of White Lotus?
I did not watch it.
And you didn't like season one?
No, I did not. I mean, I loved the production and the acting and everything. And I did not like, I can't understand why I didn't like it. It's something just didn't fit with me, but now I have to go back and watch season two.
I'm not going to stop the podcast right now, but sometimes things don't hit you the right way. And I think with the White Lotus, I could see that, man, because I love Mike White. I've talked when I saw Chuck and Buck when I was way back in the day, I was like, this guy is fucking amazing. And I just, every time something, he was in something or associate, even when he was on The Amazing Race, I was like, I'm watching The Amazing Race. I had never watched it before.
That's what I was going to say. When he was on the reality shows, then he just went to a whole new level.
When he was on Survivor, when he went on Survivor, that was the time that I started watching Survivor. And got into it and then watched every single fucking, and now I'm a fucking hardcore Survivor fan. I love it.
And I mean, I like some of Mike White stuff. It's not that I have, it's not like Yorgos or somebody like that.
You gotta be in the mood though. That's what I'm saying. Like, and I can understand that it's, you don't want to, it's a little bit Succession shit. It's very rich, affluent motherfuckers. Yeah. It's people who a lot of like sex is disposable to them. They use
not a lot of likable characters for sure.
So I can see that, Andy. I can see.
So, but in this, I loved Theo James. I know I said on somebody's, I want to say it was one of James's Facebook comments a while back, I want Theo James to play Bond. I mean, this is him playing Bond. I think he would knock it out of the park. I like that choice way, but I'm also a big Bond fan, but I think Theo James, I love Theo James in this. He's so damn cool. And just, I just really enjoyed this show.
Okay. Well, listen, I only watched two episodes, so I don't have a ton to say. I want to talk about James Bond with you, though. We're going to derail the whole fucking podcast right now. I'm just going to say, gentlemen, very good. Supporting cast is awesome. Guy Ritchie definitely returning to his roots, but with a little bit more... He's a little bit more self-effacing, like he knows what he's doing with the credits on the screen and the voiceover times. He knows what he's doing now, and he's been doing it for like 30 years, and I think that this is kind of a culmination of that, and I can't wait to watch the rest of it. But the reason why, I don't think my wife was as into it, so it might be something where our paths diverge in the road. And I take the path less traveled, which is watching it, and she goes off and watches something.
The thing that I really like too about it, it was surprising in ways I didn't think it was going to be. I mean, a lot of it's predictable, but there was also times where I'm like, I did not see that coming, which is, I always appreciate.
And I agree.
I loved, and Vinnie Jones, I forgot about Vinnie Jones. I haven't seen him in a long time. Yeah. I thought he was great in this, and I have one minor complaint. I mean, how much have you seen? I don't remember all the episodes. How much of Giancarlo Esposito have you seen so far?
Not much.
Okay. I have one minor complaint about his character, but it's kind of a spoiler, so I will not say what that complaint is.
All right.
When you get there, I think you'll know, like, it's a little strange, but.
You got, all right.
Good show. Really good show. I liked it a lot.
Definitely. And the guy who plays his brother, Daniel Ings, is Freddie in the show. He's really great. That's what I'm saying. Yep. He's just. Guy Ritchie, one of the things that people loved about him, it's the same thing with Tarantino, right? It's the casting.
Mm-hmm.
He is really good at casting, and he kind of throws the net far and wide. I don't love Kea Scodarlio, I think her name is, who plays...
Yeah, I like her. The more the series goes, I like her more. I didn't like her in the beginning, but I grow to like her character her acting.
She was, for those who remember... The way I know her is that she was in the Maze Runner series.
I never watched the Maze Runner.
Lachlan was for some reason.
Into it for a while.
Yeah. When he was like 7 years old, he became obsessed with it. And was this before COVID? Maybe it was during COVID. It makes more sense now if it was during COVID.
Yeah, right? I think it was right around that time.
So anyway, but she was also in a good show that I actually liked called Spinning Out, where she was an ice skater. I don't know. It was on Netflix, but I think it was
definitely did not see that.
I think it was only one season.
I think the one other thing I'll say about the Guy Ritchie part of it is it feels more. It's not quite. This is going to sound weird, but it's not quite as British as his earlier stuff is. It's got a hint more of Americanizing is not quite the right word, but.
Yeah, it's not, you're right about the accents too, or not. But
it's not quite as like because there's times in Snatch and Lock, Stock where you have to turn on the subtitles because you can't understand it because it's so British.
That doesn't happen to me, my friend. I grew up with an Irish grandmother. I understood everything Brad Pitt said in that movie. Everything.
Well, I didn't need to understand what Brad Pitt said because he's so amazing in that movie.
But, no one understood. He was making shit up.
But this definitely has a little more of an Americanized feel to it, which, I mean, it makes it go down super easy, fun show to watch. So,
all right. So, Ando.
So, yeah, sidetrack into Bond.
Recently, we've known for quite a long time that Daniel Craig is out as Bond. He has finished being James Bond.
If you've seen the end of the last movie, he's not coming back.
No, he's not coming back. I love James Bond, and I've read a bunch of the books. My friend Bob, who I first started making movies with when I was a kid, Bob Danaher, if you're out there, I don't know. I think he's still making movies. Who knows? he loved James Bond. He got me into reading the books. We made funny little movies, and I've been a big Bond fan too. I just don't take it as seriously. You know what I'm saying? Like my complaint is when people are like, James Bond is the pinnacle. And I was like, you really need to go back and look at those movies because a lot of them were comedies, you know, for a good period of time. They were action comedies. But anyway, so it's been announced, I guess soft announced, because I don't think it's totally official yet.
Yeah, nothing has been officially released,
but
as far as casting.
I think it's safe to say that they soft announced it to see what the response has been. I think it's been a good response, but it's that Aaron Taylor Johnson will be the next Bond.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of this choice?
I think it's, like, say, if that's who ends up playing it, and I think the report I saw said he was offered the role. So that you're right. That's basically a testing the waters to see what it is. The Bond producers are so damn. The Broccoli family is so damn protective of that character. I pretty much have faith that they're going to pick somebody that they're picking him for a reason. I mean, I don't think any of their picks, especially in hindsight, even some of the ones that kind of got bombed a little bit, like Lazenby or Dalton. If you go back and watch those movies now, they're better than what it was just, they were going for something different. I don't think it was their fault. So
yeah.
I'm guessing that he's going to be just fine. I mean, I like Aaron Taylor Johnson for the most part. I haven't seen everything he's done, but I'm sure he would be a fine pick. I mean, it's because I'm definitely one of those guys that, yes, I want Theo James, but I'm fine with whoever they pick because they're so protective of this part. There's a reason they're going to pick whoever they're picking. There's a reason for it. So they don't just sign whoever off the street to say, hey, come on and play Bond. It's not like they've done with some superhero stuff where they just pick whoever they can.
Yeah, definitely.
So I'd be okay with him.
Okay. All right. But that doesn't sound like a ringing endorsement, though, Ando.
Well, yeah. And like I said, I'll put it this way, too. When they picked Daniel Craig, I wasn't like, oh my God, Daniel Craig is perfect.
Okay.
I'd
seen Layer Cake and I was like, this guy's James Bond.
Well, and I had seen Layer Cake and I had seen him in Road to Perdition, which I think he is amazing in Road to Perdition.
Yes.
Very non-Bond part in that movie, but I thought he was awesome in that. I'm like, okay, he's a good actor.
Such a good actor, man.
And for me, it's more of what they do around him because, like I say, I like Pierce Brosnan a lot. I don't really care for his, this may be controversial to some Bond fans, but I think... Well, front to top to bottom, I think he has the worst Bond films.
I don't think it's even close. But I know you know this, but it was just so late, right? Like he should have been Bond instead of Dalton. at like way earlier. Wasn't he after Dalton?
Yeah, he was after Dalton.
So if I remember correctly, he couldn't get out of the Remington Steel contract.
Yeah. Well, what happened was he was in that contract. It was not going to be renewed. They announced him as Bond. And then they said, wait a second, we still have an option and we get all this famous stuff. He's famous now. Let's pick the series back up. So then he was forced to do it.
That fucked him. Because by the time, I felt like by the time he kind of got old kind of quick. He was always one of those actors that seemed older than he was. Like he had it about, like, I guess some people would say he has an old soul. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure.
Yep. So by the time he played Bond, I remember a lot of those movies, it seemed to me like he was kind of like lightly walking. Like he, you know what I mean? Like he wasn't really into running. Like,
well,
it was,
and that's not my complaint about his movies. Isn't him. It's the movies. It's the scripts. It's besides GoldenEye. All of his movies are basically Super Bond.
Yeah.
They are. It's him. Like it's him surfing on doing all this crazy. And it's like, it's too much. They make him into a superhero instead of a spy. That's my biggest complaint. That's why I'm saying, I think I would have liked him playing in the Dalton roles or even in the Daniel Craig role. I mean, he maybe couldn't have gone as dark as Daniel Craig, but that's why I'm saying, I think it's more about the scripts that they get than the actual actors. If that makes sense.
No, of course. That's just like when people complain about the Marvel movies, right? And say, oh, there's too much multiverse, or they need to cast this person, or blah. No, the thing is they need to write better scripts.
Yeah.
They need to allow people to make a good film.
Yeah.
Itself is a good film.
If you look at Marvel casts, I mean, the almost 100% of the actors cast have been awesome in other things. And I really blame the actors when it comes to some of these big things. I blame some miscastings, maybe.
Yeah, or some don't know how they're being
or some bad some scripts that aren't up to snuff. But
definitely. Well, I have to say, I am very excited for Aaron Taylor Johnson to be Bond. I think this dude is awesome. I think most people probably know him from Kick-Ass, maybe, or
Kick-Ass, or Godzilla. One I remember the first.
Yep.
Or
he is in the Avengers. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I guess also the Kingsman. But the thing is that he's a typical like 5'10", 5'11", dark haired, handsome, stocky kind of muscular guy, and there's about 15 of them, right? Like,
yeah,
he looks like he is a kind of a very archetypal, typical mode. Yeah. But the thing with him, and I think it's funny because I just rewatched Tenet, and everything bad that I said about Christopher Nolan and Oppenheimer, I want you all to just erase that from your minds. And it's gone from my mind. I feel clean. I just said Christopher Nolan. What I thought about is how fucking awesome Tenet is. And I love that. Man, I'm telling you, that movie is great. But anyway, he plays like...
I'm going to rewatch. I need to rewatch that. I'm waiting until it pops up on the film list with Solo before I rewatch it. But... I had a much more measured response to
that. If that was my film list, you'd be waiting about 10 years before that popped up on my, 1000, baby, because that's going to be in the top 50 probably. I really love that movie. I think it's so, and still all the human shit is garbage. Like, I'm sorry, Christopher Nolan. Sometimes he can, if he gets the right actors, Leo guy, what's his name? From Memento. I was going to say Guy Pearce. Then he can get the human interest going, but generally
the best human interest he did, I think, was The Prestige, which nobody ever talks about, but that's still one of my all time favorite Nolans.
But again, look at the actors you have there.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. Hugh Jackman and Christian Bale.
Hugh Jackman could make a fucking monkey cry. Like that guy is, Hugh Jackman is one of the most talented motherfuckers that has ever,
it's kind of disgusting, isn't it?
It is. He is on a different level. And he just got divorced from his wife from like 40 years. So he's out there.
Oh, no.
Living in the world. He's dating now too. So come on.
Oh boy.
Speaking of which,
I'm sure he's doing just fine.
One of the things, yeah, I know. One of the things that I knew Aaron Taylor Johnson from was that his wife, Sam Taylor Johnson, is like 23 years older than him, and they got married when he was like 22 or 23.
Yeah.
So, and she's a director, and I remember that was kind of, and they met when she directed Nowhere Boy. I think that's what is he playing like? I think he's playing like John Lennon or something.
Yeah. Like a young John Lennon. I never saw that. I remember.
Yeah, he is. He's playing a young John Lennon. And he is a really, really great actor. And I think the thing that they didn't allow Daniel Craig to have any fucking sense of humor in any of those Bond movies. And by the way, we all know now that he's funny as hell from the Glass Onion movies, right?
And SNL. Craig is funny.
He's an amazing actor. This kid is a really good actor too. And in Tenet, they let him, Christopher Nolan does let him be a little funny. And he's,
I don't even
really
remember,
good.
What part did he play in Tenet? Who was he in Tenet?
So he comes out of nowhere. He is just like the, I don't even know if he, cause you know, that movie is so stupid. Like John David Washington's name in the movie is literally the protagonist.
Yeah.
But he just plays this soldier that all of a sudden, spoiler alert, you know, is coming in and from the future and saying like, we've been doing this. And he then explains everything. And he's the one who also the end set piece, the big battle. He's the one who explains it all in front of the whiteboard.
Yeah.
But he's funny in it too. He lets him be funny. So I think it's a great pick. I really hope him.
I hope for his sake he signs that contract before this fall when Kraven the Hunter gets released and his career is torpedoed.
I don't know. I think that there's going to be no expectations. Another stupid Spider-Verse Sony movie. Like,
I know. God.
Tom, what's it? Tom, gosh, I'm forgetting names today. What's the guy who did Venom? Tom Hardy. Tom Hardy.
Yeah, oh, that's true.
That didn't hurt his career. People think it's funny movies. Like, they're just dumb, you know?
Kraven is directed by J.C. Chandor. Do you remember him? He's a very good director. Most Violent Year, Margin Call, All Is Lost.
Oh, shit. Well, let me tell you something, man. You see it so often these days, don't you, Andy? Film has really changed, and these guys...
Yeah, that's nuts.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Man, he did All Is Lost. He did Triple Frontier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They actually have a good director for it. So
yeah, but that's
maybe it
hard.
Won't be as bad. As
Money
some of the
is hard to come by, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't fault any of those guys taking those roles for some cash. No.
Actors too, right? You can't, you can never fault an actor for being in bad movies.
No.
A lot of times you can get a good performance in a bad movie, you know?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's keep it moving. I'm very happy about that. I think that might get me back into Bond because that signals to me he always brings a little bit of that sense of humor. And I remember in those, I wasn't a huge fan of all those gentleman movies.
Kingsman?
The Kingsman movies. Even though I've seen a bunch of them, I wasn't a huge fan of them, but he was really good in them. And he has that, I think they could bring back that kind of Sean Connery little twinkle in the eye. And you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And like,
I think so too.
Let him be, James Bond is a womanizer. Let him have sex with like 20 women in the movie. We don't have to have him be this,
and
yeah, I don't know, just like the other Bond, let him have fun.
The other thing that I really like about this is that it's, and I wish Marvel and Star Wars would take a cue from this, No Time to Die came out in 2021, and odds are the next Bond won't be out until 2026 at the earliest. They're taking 5 years off of nothing, no TV shows, no movies, no. I wish some of these other franchises would do that same thing and just like, let's take a break for a while, sit this on the shelf for 5-10 years and
Andy,
come back.
Don't forget the Brian Cox hosted Amazon the reality show.
Yes.
The Bond Experience, which is actually pretty damn good.
You know, I forgot that existed. Yeah. I was going to try it out just to see, because I love Brian Cox, of course. So
the way they edit it is a little weird, but it's actually it's a decent reality show. All right, let's keep it going. You're three episodes into Shogun. I've still only watched like one and a half. We don't have to talk too much about it. I do think it's a high quality show. The subtitles are killing me. I still got to take a little time off subtitles.
But, yeah, when you and Solo were talking about it, I don't know, whenever that was, a month or so ago, I kind of agreed with a lot of your thoughts. I've heard that it gets really, really awesome by like episode 5 and 6. Yeah. And I'm definitely going to continue watching it. When I got locked into the film list there for a while, I started getting back on a movie kick. So I haven't gotten back to Shogun in a while. I really enjoy it. But it's also, it's one of those shows where I know it's good and I just can't binge that show. I have to slowly, it's like having a steak. You can't have a steak for every single meal. So I really like the first three episodes. So I'm excited to go back to it.
And another Japanese subtitle show, Tokyo Vice, is on season 2. I know a lot of people enjoying it. I'm still about in the middle towards the end of season 1, but I want to get back to that too. But again, you have to fucking sit there and read the screen. I'm not a subtitle person. I know a lot of people our age always have the subtitles on. I do not. I have very good hearing. My hearing is too good. I wish it would degrade a little bit, because I'm like a type of person who hears like every little, like the water dripping like fucking three houses down, and it annoys the shit out of me.
I'm actually very similar to that. Yeah. If somebody gets up in the middle of the night, I wake up every single time. Yeah.
I'm earplugs. Sometimes I put on earplugs just like in the house to chill, because the sensory overload.
I will put subtitles on, like if we're podcasting on a show, or me and Gina or whoever's, or even sometimes a solo.
Yeah.
I'll on a rewatch, I'll definitely put them on.
Okay.
Just because I catch a lot more. Yeah. But you're right. That's very good. And Tokyo Vice, I'm also, for some reason, this was one of those ones that fell through the cracks for me. And I just started for the first season a couple weeks ago. And I'm about halfway through the first season. And I'm regretting not watching this sooner. Newspaper stories are one of those genres that I absolutely love. And I always forget that I love them until I start watching them. All the President's Men is one of my all-time favorite movies. I love stories set in newspaper. Even Superman, the original Superman, which a lot of it is in a newspaper. I love the newspaper stuff. So I'm loving Tokyo Vice. This will be high on my list to watch again soon. So
yeah,
to finish watching it. Ansel Elgort, yes, yeah. Or Elgort.
Elgort. Solo told me that he went out and literally learned Japanese to get this role. Like he really went and lived in Japan. Like he really went after this role, because you know there were some issues with him. Look it up on the old internet.
Yeah,
but he had
around the time of Baby Driver, which has a lot of people. And West Side Story. I think that's when some of those issues came out.
Yes. Yep. West Side Story. Yeah.
The guy's very talented. There's no question about it.
Just don't DM little girls, dude. Don't do that.
Yeah.
But I think, but if I remember correctly, I'm not defending it, but I think he was pretty young too. You know?
Yeah, I think so too.
Hey,
he's only 30 right now. So
I think that was like when he was in his early 20s, but maybe I'm wrong. I don't know enough about it. I should stop commenting on it. Let's move on. Manhunt on Apple, the story of how the fucking South murdered Abraham Lincoln, a conspiracy through and through. What do you think of the first? You said you watched the first three episodes.
First two episodes.
Two. Okay. My wife and I only watched the first episode. There's been a lot of reality TV on lately, so we haven't had and we've been going out at night a lot. Actually, last night I went to a big the first Boy Scouts meeting with the parents. Ooh. It was it was interesting. A bunch of men sitting around a table.
It's like Oppenheimer.
No, exactly. It was like Oppenheimer. A lot of country music. Out here in Oregon, for some reason, I guess it's a country. Andy, I can't do it. I cannot sit there. It was in front of a speaker. Next time, if we go to this same restaurant, I'm walking in there and telling them to turn the music off outside. I'm going to be like,
okay, so what kind of country? Real country? Like Hank Williams, that kind of Willie Nelson, or new pop country stuff?
Poppy.
Okay.
Pop, yeah.
Yeah, that's a little harder.
I can't take it, dude. I can't take it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, there's a lot of that where I live too, so I'm used to it, but I don't listen to it usually. If I have a choice, that's not my number one pick by any means. So
yeah, I'll tell you what, it's interesting because we went on a little, I call it a beach, but it's the coast because we're in Oregon. We didn't go down the shore like I would in Jersey. One day I will take my son down the shore for a couple weeks in Jersey because that's the pinnacle. You can't go in the ocean in Oregon. It's crazy waves and it's like two degrees.
Isn't it rock beaches too?
Yes. You'll die.
Yeah.
They even tell you don't walk on this sand too close because it'll suck you the fuck in and kill you.
Oh, so it's a lot more violent than the Atlantic.
But it's gorgeous. It's absolutely gorgeous. But the thing I realize is that the vibe is the same no matter what like shore you go to. It was the same thing when we went to the coast in North Carolina. They play like 70s rock. I don't know what the fuck it is, but it's like for some reason the 70s, old 70s rock stations live on the coasts. And when
tons of 70s rock stations here. That's big here too.
Okay. That makes me happy. Cause that's what I want to hear when I turn on the radio or something. I walk into a bar or walk into a restaurant. I want to hear some yacht rock. I want to hear jazz is the pinnacle. If somebody has jazz, then I'm like, I love you. And I literally walk up to them and thank them. I always do it. If I walk into a restaurant, store, anything and jazz is playing, I go up to the counter and I say, thank you for playing jazz music, keeping it alive. But I don't want to hear country music. I don't want to hear hip hop. I don't want to hear techno. I don't want to hear dance music. I could go for some old school funk and soul. I like that. I'm just an old man, so
you're getting it. Your old man yells at cloud phase right now.
I am. I don't know why I got into this. Anyway, what were we talking about? Television.
Manhunt.
Manhunt. Yeah.
So, I don't know if I'm going to finish this show. I'm going to wait to see what the reactions are before I go back. I mean, I know this story already. The hunt to find Booth after he assassinates Lincoln.
Yep.
And it's so far what I've seen, it's like 75 or 80% a good show. And there's a couple things I just can't get past. And I mean, it kills me to say this, but because I loved him in Midnight Mass a few years ago, I thought Hamish Linklater in that was amazing. But for some reason, he is trying to do an Owen Wilson impression as playing Abraham Lincoln. And he's besides after he gets. I mean, spoiler alert, he gets shot in the first episode, but there's flashbacks to him. So you see him more and boy, it takes me out of it every time. And as much as I love the guy, Patton Oswalt is playing Patton Oswalt from 2022 in this or 2024. Patton Oswalt, I think he was horribly, horribly miscast. He's just a small part in this, playing one of the detectives. But there's too many times where it's like they're trying to modernize it, but still be in the 1800s. Like I even wrote down a couple lines that people say to each other. Like at one point, Booth says to another guy, "You want me to shave my stash? That's my signature look." I guarantee you no one is saying that in the 1860s. Or "I thought you'd be taller in person." Booth was a stage actor. They see him in person. They're going to know how tall he is. It's not like watching a movie. Or at one point somebody says, "If you hear something, say something." That's a phrase from now. I mean, that's like something here, but like the production is amazing. Almost all the other actors I love in this, even, and it's that they're playing great parts. The costume design is amazing. The music is good. The direction is good. It's just, I'm driving with it. And then every 10 or 15 minutes, something like that happened where said Hamish Linklater comes in and does his Owen Wilson. And I'm like, oh, this takes me out of it completely. Like, should have just paid the big bucks to get Daniel Day-Lewis or not have Abe in the it. They don't need to have, I mean, besides getting him getting knocked off, you don't really need to have him in this story, I don't think. I mean, I haven't watched the whole thing, but I don't know. What do you think about this show?
Yeah, I think it's weird. So I also felt that this show was very strange, Andy. And I went and I looked up who is the showrunner, the creator. It's a woman mm-hmm. named Monica Beletsky. This is yep. the shows she's been on, that she's worked on, okay? Fargo, Friday Night Lights, The Leftovers, and Parenthood. Those are fucking mm-hmm. great shows. Mm-hmm. This is not a great show. You are 100% right. It is just weird. Something is off or wrong about it. And it frustrated me. I've told this story before. I wrote a 50-page paper. It was my kind of senior thesis in high school uh-huh. On the conspiracy and the assassination to kill Abraham.
It's a fascinating story. It's part of the frustrating
crazy,
part.
Dude. It is nuts, yeah. Okay? It was planned by the South. They executed it. It had repercussions on Reconstruction and what happened. It changed the course of American history in a way that people do not understand or talk about. And they just talk about John Wilkes Booth, right? That he was mm-hmm. shot at a play. It's fascinating. And unfortunately, I don't know if I'm going to continue watching it either. I agree with all of what you have to say. I didn't get to the Patton Oswalt of it all, and I am not a Patton Oswalt guy. He was good in. I remember when he was in that. What's that? When he was a Giants fan in that movie.
Oh yeah. Oh, what was
I think
called?
It was called like Big Fan or something like that.
Yeah, he was also really good in. So he can do dramatic stuff. He was really good in Young Adult with Charlize.
That's true.
Jason Reitman.
You're right. He has done some good stuff, but when he's himself, I'm not a fan.
And I know you didn't. I know you didn't finish the series. I mean, even though you watched the reboot of it, you didn't. He was in the later seasons of Justified. He played a detective in that too.
Oh, really?
He was really good in Justified. So okay. It's not like okay. I don't. It's not that I don't like Patton Oswalt. It's more like he also played he guested in a couple episodes of Parks and Recreation where he played like a Civil War reenactor. And I'm like, why is that character in this? He was hilarious in that episode of Parks and Recreation. I'm like, oh, why? Just because I've seen Parks and Rec so many times, I can't get that image out of my head. But and he's not in it that much, at least in the second episode that I watched. But I'm just like, I wish this part was a different actor because it took me out of it completely. Even though I do like Patton Oswalt generally.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I just think for me. This is just a misfire. Maybe someone can convince us otherwise, but let's keep it moving. You have not watched Masters of the Air.
I have not. This was one it's been on my radar and I've kind of been waiting, kind of like I said, with the rest of Rest of Manhunt, I'm kind of waiting until I hear reactions and okay. to what, and I know one Mike, I had messaged with him a couple of times about this early in the season. And I told him I was on the fence. And after one episode, one of the early episodes, he's like, yeah, it might not be worth your time. So I'm waiting to see what everybody else says about this one before I dig into it.
It's, I've watched most of it. I think I'm like three or so episodes behind. It's not great. It's nowhere near the Pacific which is also nowhere near Band of Brothers. It's like, it's just a declining series,
Returns.
Honestly. It's like doing cocaine. Band of Brothers, you did that cocaine that one night, you met some chick, you had a great time, you're like, holy crap, I love cocaine. The next time you did it, you were in the Pacific, and it just was kind of murky and didn't go as well. You know what I'm saying? then you're flying in a fucking airplane with a bunch of dead guys and master the... It's just... I don't know, man. It's not... It's just... For something that should have such a large scope, right, which is a world war, and that affects us to this day, it feels very small, not in a good way, not in like a homey, comfortable, I know these characters way. I don't feel you really get to know the characters, all of them, that great. Some of them you do.
And one of the leads in Masters of the Air is the guy who plays Booth in Manhunt as well. So he's on two apples at the same time.
Really? I didn't. Who is that?
Anthony Boyle. He plays Harry Crosby in Masters of the Air. But yeah, he's John Wilkes Booth in Manhunt.
Okay. And that's the problem with the show. Again, it's a little bit like when Game of Thrones first come out, like, again, a lot of dark haired guys with beards that are around 5'10". You know what I mean? Like a lot of guys, Master of the Air, a lot of kind of taller, maybe 6'1", 6'2", guys with a lot more hair, no facial hair though. It's just not, again, it's better than Manhunt, I think. It's a good show, but it just didn't take me over the top. Some of the episodes, man, this one episode in particular where it's like a whole air raid. It's a wonderful. Oh, man.
Yeah, isn't there one episode that's like like the Omaha Edge Beach scene of Private Ryan kind of stuff?
Kind of in the air.
Well, obviously not. I'm sure it's not that good.
But. Yeah, but it was really good. Another thing is you can tell a lot of the CGI. I mean, they had to because they're flying, but it's not that great. And it does seem a little bit like they're in a cramped set a lot. But I don't know. Maybe, you know what? Someday down the road, you have some time. You want to watch something, put it on. It is the kind of show you can just kind of put on, too.
Well, you know maybe that'll be a contender for one of my put on the background while I'm working kind of shows.
Yep. Now, how about this one, Ando? I'm moving it quick here. I like this. The Regime. Did you ever watch any of this show?
This is yet another show that I am going to try this one out or check it out because I like Kate Winslet. But I've heard very mixed things, so I have not started it yet.
Yeah. My wife, I don't know. I'm hearing there was a comment on the Facebook page. I can't remember someone who said that they've been watching it. And they said, it's pretty good.
Yeah, somebody just brought it up recently.
I'm trying to scroll down to see if I can find it, but I'm not sure. But I don't know. I guess, again, it could be a mood thing, and it does have a very weird tone to it. So
is it more of a comedy or a drama?
That's the thing. I think it's a dark comedy, as they say. So, you know.
Dark comedy. Sometimes I love them. Sometimes I don't. I mean, that's totally if you jive with it or not.
Yeah. And I think I read an interview where the person was saying, the creator was saying, it is kind of like a European, what if what they could think could be like a second Trump presidency, the thing, like a kind of dictator he could become. And first of all, I want to live that shit. And I don't know if I want to watch that on TV either, folks. Yeah. So let's keep that out of our minds for the time.
Oh, it was our friend Tony Curtis is who was talking about it on Facebook.
Ah, okay. Thank you, Tony. Thank you. But I feel like one night I'm going to start that and I might watch it. I don't know. I feel like I might. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to give it a shot. That's just one I have. It's on kind of on the back of the list. Usually there's always a slow period somewhere during the year, and that's when I'll hit a few of these shows that I haven't watched yet. So,
all right. We're taking another turn down the path less taken. The road less taken.
Well, we take a lot of those.
Because I was looking on the website, Daily DVR, a TV and film podcast. Come join us. We have 463 members on the Facebook. I love it. Come become a part of our post on it, people. Post whatever you want. I love it. James is always posting. I love when people post something. Ando posted something recently. I love it. Tony, thank you. This is something that I posted, which was shared from nj.com. I am from New Jersey. What do you think of our main man from The Bear, Jeremy Allen White, starring as Bruce Springsteen in a film about the writing and recording of Nebraska, which he did, which if you're a Springsteen fan, I'm not a huge Springsteen fan, but his biography is amazing. His autobiography is amazing. And I've listened to it like 50 times. And Nebraska is something that he recorded on his own without the band on like 8-track or some shit. And instead of then recording the songs with the band, which was the plan, they just released them. I think there was some mastering done, obviously, but that's what was released. So it's a very personal kind of album. I think this is amazing casting. If it was going to be like the life and times of Bruce Springsteen, like these horrible movies that have been, I just watched a bit of that Bob Marley movie. And
how was that?
It's better than I thought it was going to be when they're in Jamaica, because I love all the Rasta guys they show and the culture of Jamaica. And you really learn about that, right? Mm-hmm. Not so much what they believe, which for some people, Google it. But it's not, the rest of it's not that good. And it's not, and it's a little weird when he's singing as Bob Marley. Like, he does pretty good lip syncing. But also, if you've ever watched like interviews with Bob Marley and heard him speak, he does a pretty good Bob Marley, but it's definitely not like Bob Marley. You really have to, it was sometimes hard to understand what he was saying, you know, and this guy is going for a little sanitized. It's not a great movie, but it's interesting though. It's very interesting, but and that one only takes a 2 year period. I think this is going to be shorter, but I think this is amazing casting.
Yeah. I mean, Jeremy Allen White is, his performance in The Bear is one of those things where he's firmly put me on my radar of anything he's going to try. I'm at least going to check it out because he's such an awesome actor, and him as Springsteen is going to be good. I mean, I'm reading an article here from Variety that says that they don't have a writer and director yet, but Scott Cooper is the one who is linked to it right now. And Scott Cooper won Jeff Bridges an Oscar for Crazy Heart, which was nice. a similar style of.
Yep.
Yeah. So I have high hopes for this. And like I said, I love Jeremy Allen White, and Springsteen is, I'm a Springsteen fan. I'm not a Springsteen super fan. I mean, there's people that follow him everywhere. Like they're fish or something like that, but I'm not one of those kind of hardcore Springsteen fans, but I do really like Springsteen a lot. So I'm looking forward to it for sure. I hope it does happen.
Yeah, baby. I love it. And I like that. I like that again, that it's a very short time period. Mm-hmm. I think that's the right way to do films like this. When the Freddie Mercury one, that was just like, it's just too much time, and they sanitize everything, and it's just,
you know, the thing with that movie, and I think it's what too many especially musical biopics do. I remember watching Bohemian Rhapsody at the time and kind of halfway enjoying watching it, and then I realized later I was enjoying it because I enjoy the Queen music.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
It's not because of
totally,
because I remember catching part of it on trash. Yeah, I remember catching part of it on TV again or something. Somebody had it on after I'd already seen it. And I'm like, wow, Rami Malek won an Oscar for this. And this really isn't that good.
Yes,
but then every time you hear the music, I'm like, oh, yeah. Now, so it's like I'm loving the music. So it's almost like they don't put as much into it because they know they can use the music as a crutch. Oh, so, man.
I mean, I think for me, the most successful music biopic ever is The Doors.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Am I wrong? It's the best. I mean, Val Kilmer was born to play Jim Morrison. I'd have to think about it for a
while. Yeah.
It's weird as fuck. It gets into all the Lizard King and the fucking weird shit that and it successfully navigates a number of years.
I have to revisit that. Yeah. I haven't watched it in probably 30 years.
That was, and that pulled no punches whatsoever, right? Jim Morrison died because he drunk himself to death, and they showed that in the movie. You know, it wasn't like he just went to sleep one night and didn't wake up. You know, like, no, this motherfucker drowned himself.
I'm gonna have to think about other musical biopics. I know I really liked Walk the Line, but that was because of the performances. I thought Joaquin Phoenix and Reese Witherspoon were awesome. It's a standard biopic, though, really.
It was also pretty sanitized, too. But that was a good one.
For sure.
But yeah, that was a great performance. But
yeah. But yeah, I'll have to think about that. That'll be a topic for another day, I think.
Yeah. What was the Gus Van Sant, Kurt Cobain movie?
I never saw that one. I know what you're talking about.
Last Days.
Yeah.
That was wonderful. I thought that was a beautiful, beautiful film. That was really great. That was great casting too.
Well, and I know there's been a few musical biopics too where they can't get the rights to the music, and yeah, they still make them. So it's, I don't know. It's, there's weird stuff with the musical biopics.
That's like, I think like Nowhere Boy or whatever, right? Like Nowhere Man. That I think maybe yeah, had some rights for a book that was written, and you're in the public eye. So, but yeah, if anyone has not seen Last Days, Michael Pitt plays Kurt Cobain. That was a really, really, really great movie. I thought that that was about it. I think after he did this movie, people were just like, we're not gonna
actually make my favorite movie. Musical biopic might be an unconventional one. It's Amadeus.
Amadeus. Come and rock me, Amadeus. That was great. Tom, what was his name again? Tom Holtz. Amadeus. Now I'm looking it up. Yeah, that was a great one, man. F. Murray Abraham, Tom Hulce. Oh, that was wonderful. That's a little bit of a different musical biopic, you know? But, all right.
Yeah, for sure. I just, that was one that popped into my head, yeah.
Yep.
Mainly because Tom Hulce, I always thought of him as, what's his name, in Animal House for so long. And that performance was like, holy cow, this guy can play Amadeus.
He's quite an actor.
Yeah, he was.
Oh, okay. Let's keep it moving. And let's see. I guess I would like, maybe we've talked about, there is one thing I'd like to talk about, which is I recently, with my wife on her urging, sat down on a Saturday night and partook in the new version of Roadhouse that Doug Liman, yes, Doug Liman, directed, starring Jake Gyllenhaal, Daniela
Gyllenhaal.
Gyllenhaal. Sorry about that. Jake Gyllenhaal, Daniela Melchior, and a gentleman who should never appear in a film again, Conor McGregor. First of all, I don't know what the fuck's up with that guy's accent. It's some mishmash, or he was trying not to sound too Irish maybe or something, but he's actually,
The thing about McGregor I'm going to say is, and I'm not saying this like he's playing a character in Roadhouse, like his public persona is a character.
Yes. I know that about him. I know that about him. He is a walking fucking leprechaun. The guy has zero body fat. The fight scenes in this are, I guess if you're, I'm a fan of hand-to-hand combat fight scenes. I think that they can be pretty amazing if done right. I'm not quite sure that Doug Liman did them right. And from what I understand, there was a certain amount of CGI that was used in the fight scenes.
That wouldn't surprise me.
And it's kind of noticeable.
Yeah. Well, what are your feelings on the, I know we talked about this briefly on Facebook one day. What are your thoughts on the original? And this is,
I never saw
this. This is Roadhouse. Two words. Yes. The first one is Roadhouse. So you never saw the first one. Okay.
I never saw Roadhouse.
Roadhouse. The first one is like the definition of 80s cheese. And you either love it or hate it, I think, for the most part. But it's, I thought it was, the first one is really fun because it's so ridiculously over the top. Like, so over the top. And this one, the new one for me is the first half. I was like, I kind of like this. It was a much more toned down. And then the second half is like even more insane than all of the original. So it's another thing that's a really crazy mismatch, I thought.
Oh, so you actually saw this movie?
Yes. Oh, yeah, I did see it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
I watched it here, I don't know, 2 weeks ago, probably, I watched the weekend it came out.
So on a scale of 1 to 10, what would be your rating for this movie?
I don't know, 5.5.
Okay.
6 maybe.
I thought the first
half I was engaged with it.
Me too.
And then the second half, like, it gets so cartoony and And they say, Conor McGregor is so, I mean, he's obviously having a good time. He's got a smile on his face the whole time. It reminded me of, just because I watched it recently with my son in the fourth Indiana Jones movie in the Crystal Skull, where Karen Allen comes back to the series all of a sudden. And even in the most harrowing scene, she's got a big smile on her face because you can tell, I'm so happy to be back.
Yes, that is how and, it's, yes, that's why I say yes. Conor McGregor, not an actor, not, he is just in a movie. And he is like, oh, is the camera on? We're getting the Lucky Charms. Like, I mean, and I'm saying this as an Irishman myself. This dude is just a character. And I don't know. I mean, it was not a very good movie. They tried to make some kind of loose plot. I wouldn't be surprised if they do a part two to it. I don't know. The one fight scene that they show you in all the trailers is the best fight scene.
Yep.
Like when he first kicks the shit out of some guys. And then he never seems to display that amount of superhero talent again. And most of the fights are even. The big fight that happens at the end is okay, but it is just stupid. Like it's just broken shit everywhere. And I don't,
boats crashing into buildings, all kinds of just insanity. Yeah.
I'm trying to look at when Jake Gyllenhaal first did I pronounce it right that time?
Yes.
Okay. When did he first do, in 2015, he did Southpaw. And I think that when, End of Watch, he was pretty beefed up. I think he kind of, Prince of Persia. Okay, 2010. Yep. That's when he first, because just like I think it would be interesting to explore the use of altered title sequences in films, Ando, I also think it's very interesting to explore the point at which some male actors become obsessed with the process of bodybuilding that they have to undergo to play some beefed up character, that it then seems to take over their choices for further films. And it hasn't totally taken over Jakey Boy because he's a weirdo and I've always loved him for that. I mean, this is Donnie Darko, folks, right? He'll always be Donnie Darko to me. But it looks like it was that Prince of Persia.
And right before that time, just looking at the timeline there, he also was a finalist for Bruce Wayne when Christian Bale got the role. I'm betting that might have been part of it. He's like, I beefed up for this.
Yep.
And maybe that's why he decided, I did not Batman, so let's go do some other kick-ass. That was right around that, because I think Dark Knight was 2009. Mm-hmm. So Batman Begins would have been a couple years before that. I'm almost positive he was one of the finalists for that role.
Yeah. Yep. But this Southpaw and now this movie, I don't know. I mean, he is in great shape. It's a different thing. Like I was saying to my wife, we grew up with guys like Arnold Schwarzenegger and like Stallone, Van Damme, Dolph Lundgren. Like they were buff dudes. Jake Gyllenhaal is not, he's not big in this. He is cut like a motherfucker. Like his skin is so tight to his body.
Like kind of the way I call it is like the Stallone and Schwarzenegger guys, and they've said this a million times themselves, they were steroid guys.
Yeah.
These guys are more, and I'm sure Gyllenhaal and these guys are using some kind of HGH or something as well, but
without a doubt,
but they're like CrossFit ripped.
Yes.
Where those older guys are like just heavy lifting lift.
Which ripped. Is a bit, I mean, CrossFit is a cult, by the way, BTW.
Oh yeah, for Google. Sure it is. They're insane.
It's like literally labeled as a cult, I think, by many groups, but I think you can, it's just a different, it bespeaks a different sort of fighting and punching and moving and grappling that they do, right? It's very MMA style.
More MMA, more gymnastics, where the other stuff was more just blunt force.
Yeah, right. Where like you punch your fist through a wall.
Yep.
So it's interesting to me. I'm not saying either one I prefer. It's just a comment on it. But overall, Roadhouse, the 6.2 rating on IMDb is perfect.
Yep. That's
a perfect rating for that.
You know, since we're on Roadhouse anyways, I want to give a quick mention, and this to me confirms that former pro wrestlers are better than former pro US or pro former UFC guys in acting.
Yeah.
And I want to say that because I saw another show or a movie with a former pro wrestler that also came out recently.
Oh,
the movie itself is not great, but he is awesome in it. John Cena okay. in Ricky Stenicki. Did you watch any of this?
No, I did not. I did not. Is this funny? Is it any good
it's
at all?
It's a throw. Well, it's Peter Farrelly, who, I mean,
okay. Yep.
Dumb and Dumber. I mean, he won an Oscar for Green Book, which is crazy, but also there's something about Mary. It feels like a throwback.
Oh,
to
no,
that
that's
kind
what
of
I was
movie.
Talking about. His Oscar, yeah. Dumb and Dumber, because be nominated yeah. and then win for that dumb yes. movie, it was Dumb yes. and Dumber.
So this is much more like There's Something About Mary, one of those kind of, it's kind of a, or maybe even a little bit
he's
of
got
a
jizz in his hair.
Yeah. What yeah, that kind of, well, I don't think that ever happens in this, but there's some similar things like that. And it's a little bit like an Apatow, Seth Rogen kind of thing too going on where there's some heart here. It's nothing special. You know exactly what it is. It was one I put on in the background to kind of watch. And every time Cena is on, he is just, and I don't think it's the pro wrestling fan in me thinking, oh, I just love Cena because he was so great at that. Mm-hmm. I think he is legitimately just he will do anything. I mean, if you thought he was funny on the Oscars, this is a lot of that same kind of, he is not afraid to make an ass of himself in this. He's very, very funny. It's worth watching for John Cena alone.
Not
a great movie, but it's fun.
He's great. He's wonderful. He's great. I love the guy and everything he does. And I mean, I think there's no question that, I mean, the WWE is entered. It's not real, right? It's scripted entertainment.
Yeah,
and
it's
the
all
UFC,
scripted, yes.
these motherfuckers are getting hits to the head. Like something's wrong with Conor McGregor. Like his brain is not.
Yeah.
You can even tell just from watching it. Like this dude is, this is probably him when they call cut. Like he's fucking nuts.
Yeah.
And then Jake Gyllenhaal should go back and do Donnie Darko too. But still, hey, interesting career. I think that guy is a very interesting actor. Has done some really weird films, and I really appreciate him for it. Really do.
He kind of, in some ways, Gyllenhaal reminds me of somebody kind of like, I mean, not his acting style, but kind of like how Kurt Russell is, where he's always interesting. It picks all these.
All right, we're back. We had some sort of weird, I attempted to italicize something in our Google, doc, and it somehow did something weird on Zoom. So sorry about that.
Axel's just mashing the buttons on his keyboard. He doesn't know what happens.
I don't know what the hell I'm doing. I'm just trying to produce this fucking show. So we're just going to continue on. Andy says, I don't remember what I was talking. So I don't remember either.
Yeah,
so.
We don't need to talk anymore about Conor McGregor.
So. No, yeah, that's, I agree with you on that. Okay. Now I will talk about something that a show that has recently come back that does involve people getting the shit beat out of them regularly, which is Invincible. Are you a fan of this?
Oh, yes.
Cartoon.
Yes. Okay. Yes. I think we talked about season one way back I mean, like a million years ago when that aired. Yes. I am a very big fan of this show.
What do you think of season two, which they have split up? So the first, what was it? I think it's like, maybe it's 4 and 4 or so.
Yeah, 4 and 4. I think the season finale hits tomorrow, I think.
Yes. And so the first 4 episodes came out around January, I think, or something like that.
I know. Right? It was last year because I remember it was late last year because I remember thinking, do I put this on a top 10 nomination thing or not? Okay. It was in considerations, but I'm like, only 4 episodes I wasn't going to. So it must have been November, December, something like that. It was late in the year.
Yeah. And then now it's come back with 4 more. What are your feelings? We don't have to get too spoilery on the show. What are your feelings about the second season of Invincible?
Besides the fact of them splitting it into 2 parts, which I hate, and that they actually kind of made a joke about that in the last episode, episode 7, which I thought was kind of funny. And I know that there's people that are very down on some of this. I still am really enjoying it. I think it's still really good. I know there was, especially about the last episode, there was a lot of complaints about it and it was too slow or it meandered or went off in places they didn't want to be. And I thought that was fine because I always thought that was something that needed to be addressed, what happened in the last episode. So I'm still really enjoying it. I don't have much negative to say about it yet.
Yeah, I do too. I really love this show. I think that it's a little less focused because it's just the nature of the story at this point, I feel. I feel like they are building to something. I feel like this season has been a lot more about other characters and building the whole world. And season one was very much about our main character and his father and their relationship, right? So I really love this show. I mean, I definitely think, was season one better than season two? I think it was more focused. I don't know if it was better. I think it was, season one would have survived a split in the middle better than season two has. So I think that that's an issue. I think they should have waited. I don't understand why everyone in this world is so impatient, right? We need a new movie every year, every 6 months. We need this. We need it now, now, now. Motherfuckers, I waited like 20 years for the next Star Wars, right? Like, it's okay. And then when it came, it wasn't that good. So, I mean, just they should have just waited, is in my opinion. And I hope they didn't, but I feel like they may have killed the show. I don't know that it's getting the same even critical response that it got in the first season. And because it was so long between the two seasons, they were like, they want to get it up. But it's like, we've already waited so long. You might as well just let us wait another 6 months and show it to us all at once.
Yeah. That part really, that's my big complaint. Yeah. The thing about, and kind of what you were saying too about the, how it's, the season's maybe less focused and more focused on other characters. One of the creators of this is Robert Kirkman.
Yep.
And we all know what Robert Kirkman's other big show was.
Carl!
And the biggest problem I have with that show, The Walking Dead, is after the first three or four seasons, it's all the same shit over and over again. And when I'm thinking of this season two, I'm thinking, you know what? Yes, they're setting up all these different factions of things and all these different characters that pop in and out. You know what? They're setting this up for more of a long haul, I think, where now they're going to have a whole universe of characters instead of just Rick and Carol and Daryl and the same five or six people doing the same exact shit over and over and over again. And this, to me, it feels like they're setting this up for something that I'm hoping the payoff is going to be great, but it just, I like the branching off into different areas and, we haven't seen this guy in a year. Why do we care? Well, I like that they're keeping those people fresh. I have very high hopes for this series.
Me too. And I thought the last episode was great and the direction that it went.
Yes.
Because we don't need it to turn into The Boys. I know people love The Boys and I love The Boys too. It's so weird and fun and crazy and explicit. But it is the same shit. It's the same thing. You have a undefeatable Nazi at the head as an evil character, and you got to like. What Invincible did was something much different, and that's what The Boys needs to do. I thought they were going that way last season, but then they turned away from it.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to the next season of The Boys, but I hope just fucking kill Homelander or make him a good guy or make him go to another planet or it's just boring. It's the same thing, you know? And sadly enough, I know that show is thrown into chaos now because basically the star of Gen V died in a motorcycle accident this week. That was terrible.
Yeah. Just last week, yeah. So I still have to catch up on Gen V, too. I have not watched that yet.
That was decent. It was okay. It was good. First episode is nothing like the rest of it's very weird in the way that they really push The Boys' ultraviolence in the first episode. And then afterwards, it becomes a lot more emotional and meditative and plot-driven and less action-driven. So it's interesting, but it's good. It's worth watching. It's not, I feel the same way about The Boys. I don't think that's a great show. I think it has great moments. I think it's fun. I think it takes a lot of chances, but is it a great television show? I don't think so. I think it's also extremely repetitive.
Yeah, the thing I still like The Boys a lot, but The Boys is, you said, it's not a top tier show. The highs are extremely high. That's why I keep coming back to it. Because when it's awesome, it's awesome.
That's the thing about The Boys. It's either wholly original and you've never seen anything like it, or it's the most rote, overused, hackneyed writing you've ever seen.
Yeah,
like exactly. It's just either or. There's no middle ground for that show, but it keeps you with it, you know. And the acting, that again, you can't fault actors for lines they don't write. The acting is really good in that show.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, Ando, we've talked about a bunch of shit. I do want to give a quick shout out. I know two shows that you don't watch, Top Chef and Survivor, the two still pinnacle of all reality, contest shows, I guess you call them, or competition reality shows.
Yeah, competition, yep.
But Top Chef is back. Padma has been replaced with Kristen. She's amazing. The show has gotten even better because I know there's some people out there who watch Top Chef. I'll give you my analysis.
I don't watch it all the time, but I do enjoy cooking shows every once in a while, cooking competition shows.
You gotta watch Top Chef. Just grab the wife and say, honey, let's watch this season of Top Chef. They're only on episode 3.
Like, I think it was sometime here over the winter when everybody was sick, and I think I came into the other room and Luke and Claire were watching. I can't remember what the show is called. Is it called Is It Cake? Is that the name of the show?
Is It Cake, yeah.
And I remember getting sucked into that show for like 2 episodes. And so, I mean, I get the whole thing about the food thing, and I've watched some Gordon Ramsay shows. And so I'm sure I would like Top Chef. I just haven't. I know if I get sucked in, that's going to be my whole weekend or my whole 3 weekends, because there's a lot of Top Chef, isn't there?
Yes, and Top Chef is nothing like those shows, okay? It is high class. Top Chef probably has the most stringent process for selecting contestants of any reality show or competition show that has ever existed. All of these people are James Beard Award winners. They own restaurants. These are not like Joe from down who opened a Subway shop because his mom always said his sandwiches were great. And they might be the greatest sandwiches. These are people who then took that and made a chain. And then, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's such high quality, and what they ask them to do is if you like The Bear, that's what they're doing on Top Chef.
These are people like Carmi on The Bear.
100%. It is like a bunch of Carmies on the show together, and they have all worked at Eric Rupert's restaurant and like Michelin stars. It is fucking. That's why you can't put. It's the same thing with Survivor. You can't put those shows anywhere near.
Well, no. Yeah.
Anything that's on any other network. They're like the pinnacle of reality competition shows.
Yeah, that's why I'll occasionally, like if Claire has one on or I see something, I'll occasionally stop on some of those shows. Like say, I'm not going to be watching the Vanderpump Rules or the Kardashians or something, but some of those competition shows I will give a shot to. And I respect those shows much more than I respect the other kind.
Even though I love those other shows too, but
yeah, there's nothing wrong with loving it. Like I said, I just talked about how I love pro wrestling. So I get it. I have my things too. I get it.
But, Kristen Kish is her name. She took over for Padma. And the way it worked is that Tom Colicchio, who's a famous chef, over the years, he's lightened up because Padma is a fucking hard ass. And she is also one of the most gorgeous women that has ever walked on this earth. So she is so intimidating, and she was the intimidation factor was for Padma. People would be so scared to make something for her on these shows, right? And like Tom kind of became like the uncle, like a friendly uncle, right? But every once in a while he would get a little pissed off, you know? But Padma was really like the, you better fucking do this right. Now, Kristen she's a chef, and she's just so happy to be there that it allows Tom to turn into an old curmudgeon. And this season is great because Tom has now become the heavy, and Kristen is like the nice one that everyone, she's walking in the kitchen, she's talking, she's joking when she's introducing the challenge. So I love that. Survivor 2, they went heavy, heavy, heavy into the personal stories, the struggles, the background of all the contestants, how important Survivor is as a socially conscious game show where you're trying to fuck other people to win $1 million. And it was just, they were highlighting, and then there were way too many advantages and idols and oh, guess what? We're doing this, surprises. They just were really trying anything to make the show better. And then last year they decided, hey, why don't we just like make a season of Survivor with really good casting
and back to the basics.
Yes. And allow people to be the villain. They were not letting anyone be a villain because it went through a time when everyone was trying to be a villain, but now it's kind of evened out. And last season was one of the best seasons of Survivor in a really long, like maybe a decade.
I remember you, I think it was maybe you and Bubba maybe were talking about how much you loved it. Cause I know Bubba's a big Survivor guy
and
too.
It's back. This season is great. They are doing it again. They know, I want to know about the people. I want to know what's important to them. I want a diverse cast. I want all of that, but I want it to be real, right? Like no one is going to vote for you because your dad died and you're really upset about it. Like, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. You don't deserve to win Survivor because your dad died. My dad died. I didn't win Survivor. You know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't, the two things do not correlate. So you have to be, it has to be about the show and the challenges. And when they lean into that, it is so much better. And they really have leaned into it. And they also, like, Jeff isn't talking as much, which is a good thing too, because, he's like me. He talks a lot. And you get the final pick. Do you want, we do have some upcoming shows. Do you want to run through those real quick or do you want to talk about something else?
You know, we can do that. I want to mention one other thing that I just watched about 45 minutes of, and this will just be real quick. And it's a documentary, the Steve Martin documentary. Have you watched any of this on Apple?
I watched about 45 minutes of the first one.
Okay. I only wanted to bring it up because, when Solo and I did a film list, I'm not sure which one it was. We talked about Michael Keaton a whole bunch.
Yeah.
And I had told him during the conversation, I was like, you know, I realized just now talking that Michael Keaton is one of my favorite actors and never even realized it. This doc already has made me realize Steve Martin is one of my favorites, and I never realized it until then. So really cool documentary. I'm excited to watch that. That was all I had to say about Steve Martin, but just wanted to bring it up because it's a pretty damn good doc so far.
I'm going to finish watching. I've heard that the second one is Then and Now. It's split up between Then and Now.
Yeah.
And I've heard that the Now one is much better than the Then. I thought the Then
was... Oh, really?
Yeah, which I thought, wow, if it's much better, it's going to be really good. I thought it was good. I'm not a huge fan of the audio presented as film documentary, right? Like where they purposefully never show anyone talking to the camera. It's always voices and a collage of images.
Yeah. Some of the production stuff. Yeah.
I'm not a huge, especially with, I think they really missed the mark on that because I want to see Steve Martin's face when he's talking about his past. Yeah. I want to, you know, so that part for me, I wasn't in love with it, but I did like it. I felt like I was listening. It felt to me like it was a podcast that they turned into a movie.
Well, you know, that might have been part of why I was, because when I was watching it, I was watching it in quotation marks on the iPad while I was doing the dishes.
Yep.
So it's kind of like what I do with a podcast. So maybe that's why I enjoyed it so much.
That's a lot of dishes. It took you 45 minutes, Ando?
Oh, yeah, it was a lot of dishes. We cook a lot around here. And I don't have a dishwasher so right now. So it's a lot of couple full sinks with two kids, you know.
Yeah. And, you know, Ando, you're probably like, look, I'm a stay-at-home dad. I do all this shit. I vacuum this morning. I do all that shit in our house. I cook, I clean, I do all that. I'm the house husband.
Yeah, when I'm not farming, that's kind of my job in the winter, a lot of the winter time. So, exactly right. Yep,
we're the same like that. And I can tell you one thing. Last night, my wife said, you have this Boy Scout meeting. I'm going to do the kid and I are going to do the dishes. Okay. I said, oh, wow, this is wonderful. I come home. still about three or four things in the sink. Why? I don't know. Why? They were in the sink when I left. For some reason, these five items were not cleaned. Also, was the counter and the stove wiped down? No, of course not. See, these are the extra things that you do that you notice you do when the other people do the things you do, right?
Like, yeah.
When I clean the kitchen, I clean the fucking kitchen. I wipe down all the surfaces with soap. Then I pick it up, then I wipe it down. You know what I'm saying? I put everything away.
Yeah, but if you complain about it, then it's not going to happen again. No, so
I don't even mention. I didn't even say anything. I just did it.
Did you want to talk about a couple of these other ones? Like I said, that was all. I just wanted to mention the Steve Martin thing. We could talk about a couple of these other things coming up here.
I wanted to point out three things that are coming rather soon, and go over to our Facebook page or go over to One Mike Facebook page to see the good list he put out. But first off is Ripley, which is coming out on Netflix. This is the, what is it? Patricia Highsmith.
Yeah. The Tom Ripley
series. We saw Matt Damon play this part.
Mm-hmm.
We saw, there was
John Malkovich,
A later in life Tom Ripley. Yep. This is on Netflix. It's starring Hot Priest, Andrew Scott,
yeah, from Fleabag, yeah.
Dakota Fanning, who has not only grown up to be a very beautiful woman as we met her when she was a child. When I think about that, I'm like, holy shit. She was like 2 years old when she started acting or something.
Yeah. But she was in Man and Fire, wasn't she, with Denzel?
Yeah. Yeah.
She was like eight or something. Yeah.
But for me, when I realized, oh wow, she can really act, was in the Alienist TV series. And the second season, she was so good that they gave her the whole second season. They were like, you're the star now. Which she should have been from the beginning. So I'm really looking forward to this. This looks awesome, Ripley. Also,
is Ripley a movie or a TV series?
This is a TV series.
Okay. I've seen the ads for it, like the little tile pop up on Netflix the coming soon, but I hadn't done much reading about it.
It's an 8-episode TV series.
Okay. Is it based on the book or is it just kind of based on all the stories? Or like an original story?
I'm not sure.
Any idea? Okay. Okay. Yeah, that's all. It does look interesting. I'll check that out for sure.
I think it may be a retelling of the original story where he's hired to go overseas to befriend the rich son. But I mean, this just looks amazing. Andrew Scott. And who is... who's the showrunner for this? I knew who this was. Yeah.
Oh, Steve Zaillian.
Oh, that's whoa. Right. That's what I was saying.
That's a big name.
Steve Zaillian. Yeah. Come on.
He knows his way around a script.
Yes. And it is based on the original book.
Okay.
The Talented Mr. Ripley.
Yeah.
So, this comes out April 4th, which is, guess what? 2 days, folks. Really tomorrow night. Then coming out a day later is Sugar, the Colin Farrell show that Solo and I think we're covering it. As far as I know, I'm one half of this fucking thing.
Comes out in 3 days. We're not positive, but pretty sure.
It comes out in 3 days, but it drops. We talked about it before the show. 3 episodes at once.
They're not messing around, are they?
No. Good cast. Nate Cordry, who I really like him. Dennis Boutsakaris, who is great. Good cast. We'll see what happens.
Amy Ryan. Yep. She's always really good, too. Yep.
It's supposed to have a big twist in it, which makes it fun for Solo and I to guess what the twist is going to be.
Well, it's Mark I can never say his name right. Like the showrunner, Protasevich.
Yeah.
Can't think. He's got some other... Remember a long time ago, before the Will Smith I Am Legend came out, there was back when scripts were traded on the internet, like Ain't It Cool News and all that kind of stuff. Remember there was a script he had for I Am Legend that was really, really cool. And then it got changed a lot for the Will Smith movie. But he's got some decent, interesting writing credits. So I'm really looking forward to it. I'm guessing there will be a huge twist because it seems like the kind of show that would.
Yeah. Well, we're looking forward to that one.
Oh, so it's got Anna Gunn in it too.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
At least according to the Wikipedia, Anna Gunn, James Cromwell, there's some pretty awesome.
Yeah. Oh, you got to have James supporting. Cromwell in there.
Yeah. Well, of course, Eric Lang, wasn't he in Lost?
Yes. He sure was.
Yep.
Nice. And the final show before we get the hell out of here, that is coming out next week, is Fallout on Amazon Prime, based on the video game. And it is a wholly original story set within the universe of Fallout that takes place concurrently. I think it's concurrently.
With one of the games, isn't it?
I did play about an hour of Fallout back in the day, but I'm not a first person. I don't like first person games. I think a later one came out where you could switch perspective. But anyway, it's an original story, so the it can't spoil the game or vice versa, whatever. It's not like The Last of Us. It's not just retelling the game, which The Last of Us was exactly pretty much the game. But this stars Ella Purnell of Yellow Jackets fame, Walton Goggins of The Big Teeth, Kyle MacLachlan, Michael Emerson. They got quite a cast here. Zach Cherry from Severance, remember him?
Oh yeah.
Of course, Johnny Pemberton. Everybody knows Johnny Pemberton.
Matt Berry. I didn't know he was doing a voice in this. Oh, I love me some Matt Berry. One of my favorite comedic actors right now. And I think for people that are listening to us that probably listen to Westworld, it's a Jonah Nolan show too.
Yes, it sure is. It sure is. So
I don't know the preview. I don't know. Obviously, I know that they're games. I had a roommate that played Fallout all the time, but I never played it at all. So I don't really know any of the. And I obviously know it happens after some type of nuclear fallout. Obviously, I know that much, but I don't know much about it. The previews for this look weird as hell.
Yeah.
Just a weird mix mash of like 50s and 60s and futuristic stuff. And Walton Goggins with no nose. And
Like 50s, 60s steampunk, if you can call it that. I think there's another term for it, but.
Okay.
It's like that. It's like if technology in the past had been advanced past the future. You know what I mean? Like that kind of, if it went a different way. And I think it looks to be really good. I'm really interested. Just the look and feel of it, the sets. Walton Goggins is his character is called the Ghoul, and you'll see why when you look at a picture of him from this show. He's in the preview too.
Yeah.
He looks
weird. He looks like a crazy Voldemort kind of thing with and Walton Goggins who was also does one of the main voices in Invincible. I'm always a huge Walton Goggins fan, so I'm definitely going to check it out, even though it looks weird. Weird is good. Awesome. So what the hell?
I heard some story. I don't remember if I read this or heard it on a podcast or something that like Walton Goggins and his wife like to host like big Hollywood parties where they have people over, like all different types of people. And they're kind of known as a couple that like brings people together in Hollywood.
Well, that's cool.
And I don't know if I invented that in my own mind or I actually read this or heard it on a podcast, but then I thought to myself, I'm rarely invited to dinner parties. I'm not a big fan of them. I don't even like really going to restaurants too much, but I would go to Walton Goggins' house and have a dinner.
Well,
with some folks.
That's at least until Kurt Sutter sees you there. They're good buddies. And Kurt Sutter would say, get this son of a bitch out of here.
And he blocked me. My old nemesis, Kurt Sutter. Yep. Motherfucker. Well, he got his, he's coming back pretty soon too. He's going to have a show.
Yeah. What the heck is his show coming back? I don't remember what it's called. Man. I remember something coming though. Yeah.
What is the Kurt Sutter? We talked about this on the last podcast. What's Kurt Sutter? Wait, hold on a second. Oh, Kurt Sutter fired from FX for being an abrasive dick. Well, that about settles it.
Shocking.
Yeah. A Western drama called The Abandons. Yeah. Interesting. Huh?
I'll definitely check it out.
Yeah. Who would have thought that Kurt Sutter would be an abrasive dick? Gosh, that's so off brand for him.
I know. You think you know people. And
yeah. Oh, no. This show stars Lena Headey and Gillian Anderson. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, I like both of them.
Yeah. Very interesting. As a group of diverse outlier families pursue their manifest destiny in 1950s Oregon, a corrupt force of wealth and power coveting their land tries to force them out.
Oh, it's on Netflix too, huh?
Yeah. It sounds like Kurt, they just gave him some money and said, go be a dick on the other side of this fucking planet, Kurt Sutter.
Well, I'm not sure if that's going to be good or bad, because Kurt Sutter always strikes me as one of those guys that might actually need a little bit of studio to rein him in a little bit.
Oh,
if
yeah.
Netflix just says, go do whatever the hell you want.
I know.
We might have like 4-hour episodes.
That's what I was going to say, Ando. It's going to be like 4.5-hour episodes of Kurt Sutter. And that's not even the director's cut, the Sutterverse.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this has been great, Ando. Thank you for coming on. I know I just texted you last night. Hey, let's do a pod, man. We talked about a bunch of different shit. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Thanks for Mike for giving us that list of new shows, which we took 3 from. I don't know. You got anything else you want to say, Ando?
I don't think so. Like I said, this was fun. It was good timing. Glad we did this little catch up. Yeah. So, yeah.
All righty.
It's fun. I'm looking forward to watching some of these shows again. Let me go back to my Steve Martin doc here while I go vacuum.
I think I'm going to do the same thing. I think I'm going to build some Lego and watch that Steve Martin doc.
Maybe I should do that.
Yeah.
That sounds more fun.
Yeah. But vacuuming is good.
Gotta
pick up that dog hair. It's everywhere, man.
Yes, it is. That's the one never-ending job in a house, isn't it, when you have a dog?
Dog hair. All right, folks. Thanks for listening. Thank you, patrons. Peace out, everybody.